Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Verse number 4, chapter number 6. It's that same word. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, the word enlightened means they were made to see and have tasted of the heavenly gift they've experienced. Remember, we talked about that last week. And we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the word. It's impossible for them to come back. In other words, it's not because that God won't receive them. It's because they won't come back. Not that they could not, but they would not. So we see this word impossible. It means it's unable to be done. It ain't happening. And excuse us, it ain't politically correct, but as a kid we say this all the time. No way, Jose. It ain't happening. It's impossible for God to lie. Just as surely as God is God, God cannot lie. Just as surely as God cannot die, God will keep his word. It's immutable. It's impossible for God to lie. Then because of that, why is that so important to us? That we might have a strong consolation. That the word consolation means a great encouragement. You remember, there's a lot of pressures in life that we're a blessed people. We fuss and complain here in America because of this and that. We have no idea what these people went through 2,000 years ago. It was tough being a believer back then. Sometimes you would have been a lighted lamppost. Remember that? Get Christians and tie them to a lamppost and set them on fire. Just because you're a Christian. And we think we got it rough. Feed them to the lions, you know, all these other things that happened. And because a preacher hurt my feelings, I ain't going back to church. We really got it bad, don't we? We got it rough. We got so tough living here in America, and we whine. We know nothing of persecution. Let me just say this, and I love all of y'all, and I'm talking to me. We're a bunch of weak-kneed, spineless, baby toast believers, for the most part. We get, somebody upsets us, and we get, our whole life is in a, are y'all following what I'm talking about? We got it made. We really do, when you look at it. We have the freedom, but these people, and they needed that encouragement, and they're not, we need it today too. But how much more did they need it then? And again, I love this. I got to move on. Who have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope set before us. Who have fled for refuge. Wish I had time to talk about the cities of refuge. We find it, the cities of refuge. Just find it in Numbers chapter number 35 and in Joshua chapter number 20. They're called cities of refuge in the Old Testament. We read that God appointed six cities. They named them cities of refuge. Three on one side of the Jordan, three on the other side of the Jordan. And the thought was this, that if a man could flee into one of these cities, whichever one was closest to him, that's why they were all spread out, and it was available to them, spread out, so that if a man, he could flee to that city, if he accidentally killed somebody, accidentally, he would go to the city of refuge. The elders of that city would investigate the case. Would he actually commit murder? Or was it manslaughter? Was it accidental? And if they determined that it was indeed accidental and not intentional, they would permit the man to live in that city until the death of the high priest. That's interesting. Till the death of the high priest. And then after that, he could return home. And the members of the slain man's family could not avenge themselves so long as the man remained in the city of refuge. They couldn't come in there. That's a safe haven for that man who had innocently slain, shed blood. Well, Jesus Christ is our refuge. That's the comparison here. And Satan cannot get to us. I have five or six things and I want to, illustrations I think it'll help you. It's a beautiful picture of Christ and the cities of refuge. Listen, both Jesus and the cities of refuge are within easy reach of the person in need. The place of refuge is of no use if it cannot be reached. Number two, both Jesus and the cities of refuge were open to all, not just the Israelites, even the Gentiles. No one who comes to the place of refuge is turned away. Number three, both Jesus and the cities of refuge were places to live in time of need. No one ever came just to look around. They came because they needed a place. Jesus is that place. The cities of refuge was that place. Number four, quickly, both Jesus and the cities of refuge are the only alternative for those in need. You run to the city of refuge because you're in need. You run to Jesus because you're in need. Number five, both Jesus and the cities of refuge provided full freedom with the death of the high priest. That's Jesus Christ. He offers us full freedom when we go to that place of refuge. Number six, there's one critical difference between Jesus and the cities of refuge, and I'm going to close with this. One big difference. The cities of refuge could only help the innocent. Only if you were innocent could you be helped. But Jesus, the guilty can come to him and find a place of refuge. And in verse number 19 and 20, because of that place of refuge that we have in Jesus, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and we'll look at Melchizedek next week. But I want you to notice the word forerunner, and I'm going to close with this. The word forerunner means to go beforehand. He's made a way. Literally, they're going to be those who will run behind. He's the forerunner, and we're the afterrunners. Let that one sink in. It may not be a good English. He's the forerunner. He entered in that veil, and he made it possible that we too now can enter in that. We are the afterrunners, that we have access to the Father. That's what the high priest is all. He's better. These Jewish people, they didn't have that before the death of Christ. But we now all have access to that veil. He was the forerunner, and now we're the afterrunners. We have access directly to the Father. Father, we do thank you for that access. The privilege that we could come to you based upon what your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us on the cross of Calvary, his shed blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and even now he's sitting at your right hand, ever interceding for us. Our Father, we can't comprehend that, but we praise you for the truth. Lord, bless the morning worship. Bless the choir, the singing, the preaching, everything will redound to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Let's prepare for worship.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And come visit us this Sunday at 11 a.m. at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church to hear Dr. Phil Stringer. He'll be a special guest speaker this Sunday at 11 a.m. at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. You won't want to miss Dr. Phil Stringer. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.